lesson's title is How Does Grace, Grit, Gratitude, and Glory Look Like in a Singles Life? That's what we're going to be talking about. And a little bit about me. I'm from Resurrection Life Church. I have two children. I work full-time. This is my 15th year. This month is my anniversary of my 15th year at work. And I didn't realize that until I was putting this together. I was like, wow. I was like, man, time goes quick. And I think the greatest title anyone can ever have is a servant of God. And I'm going to talk about being a servant of God. Through the years, I come to this conference at so many different stages of my life. I've been saved for almost 20 years, and I think I've always come to conferences almost every year, whether it was here or we used to have it in Lancaster with another ministry. And I've came here to these conferences as a single. I've came as a married woman, to pregnant, to divorcing, and then back to single again. So these conferences don't get old because life is always changing. You know, we're always dealing with something, and we can always take away something from these conferences, and I love that. And some years, nothing particular is going on, but I love to come and fellowship with the ladies and just to praise the Lord together. I mean, just coming for that alone is awesome, you know, and see dancing and to partake in that, you know, it's really awesome that we get to have this time each year. I would like to go through the definitions of grace, grit, gratitude, and glory, and a little bit on how that reflects as a single's life. The definition of grace is the love and favor of God toward human beings. Grace is something that God gives us and is something that needs to be received. When we are first saved, we accept His love and forgiveness. And Linda talked about that last night. We believe He loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us, for our sins. That was God's ultimate favor on us. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. We believed He wanted us to be part of His family and that He had a plan for each one of our lives. It was so exciting. And just as Linda talked about last night, I had in my notes too, do you remember that first time you received the Lord? You know, is it a special memory? Do you remember the day or where you were? You know, I do. I was at a Bible study. I got saved at a Bible study. I was invited to a Bible study, and my friend said, we're going out. I'm not telling you where we're going. And she brought me to a Bible study. And I did not go back the next week. And she went back to college. She was only home for college break. And then I went it was a Tuesday. I went the next Tuesday. Then I didn't go the next Tuesday. And then I went the next Tuesday. And then I was hooked. And because the Word was so new to me, I felt like I didn't know anything. And so I started going every Tuesday. And then eventually gave my heart at one night. And it was an awesome night. I don't know what was the enemy knew what was going on, because I remember sitting at that table and I was angry, and I was like, I was looking at the teacher. I'm like, I feel like throwing my Bible at him. I'm like, Lord, what is wrong with me? And I just think it was the enemy going, no. And towards the end, the lady whose house it was and the coworker was like, sure, I found this prayer. And it was a repentance prayer. And she said, let's pray together. And the tears just started coming. And that was my salvation moment. You know, does anyone else have a salvation moment that was that specific to them? Yes? No? Or did you grow up in Christian homes and always felt saved?
Well, I was a little girl in a little Methodist church, and every time they had an altar call, I ran up. So I don't think I got grace, because every time they had an altar call,
you felt like you needed to go back up.
And really didn't get it until I was about 12 years old. And
yeah.
Then, you know, because I was like this poor kid with no teeth and just, you know, and I just felt like everybody wanted to get me saved, like, we got to get this girl saved. But when I was in Pioneer Girls as a 12-year-old, they had me pray the prayer. And I remember sitting there and thinking, I think I finally got this.
Amen. I think it's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure everyone has moments with the Lord where He has spoke to you. And it just makes the Lord seem so much real when you have those experiences. And you can remember the times in your life that God has specifically spoken to your heart.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians, which was read last night, 12, verses 8 to 10, Paul was talking about the thorn in his flesh, and Linda mentioned that also last night, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many of us look forward to insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties? You know, we want to run from those things, you know, not embrace them. But Paul was like, no. For when I'm weak, I am strong. And Paul is just, what an awesome way to look at that. You can totally have a changed mindset with the Lord's word when it comes to life difficulties. I came to the conclusion that there has and always will be challenging times in life. As long as we're on this earth, I don't think it's anything we're going to hide from. I came to the conclusion I need to accept this, especially when it comes to having an ex-husband, work, children. I used to always wait for a boring week. I used to say, I just want a week where nothing happens, where nothing arises emotions out of me. And after a couple of years of waiting, I concluded that as long as I'm in this world, there's always going to be something. There will always be challenges, changes, life's curveballs, unexpected events, fiery darts from the enemy. But I know Jesus has already come to overcome the world.
Amen.
In John 16, Jesus was telling his disciples that he was leaving and there were going to be hard times coming. He wanted them to know that they would also have joy and would rejoice with him again. In verse 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
What a promise. Amen. You know, no matter what we go through, He is with us. Amen?
Amen.
I know God's grace, His love, and His favor, which grace is, will always be with us. He died to give us life and life more abundantly. Jesus did not die so that we would live life feeling we live in lack or that we are not complete because we are single. You know, it's a lie that you feel like, you know, well, I'll be complete when, or no, you are complete now in Christ. Amen? Amen. When those lies try to take root in your mind, we have to speak against with the truth of God. When my husband first left me, over and over in my head, I kept saying, I was dealt a bad hand. It was like a skipping record player. I was just dealt a bad hand. And God says, stop saying that.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, stop saying that. Because I was just making myself more and more down.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And as a single, you can come up, whatever your reason for being single, you can say, well, I just must not be good enough. Or I guess God just has to clean me up first. Or I guess I just wasn't meant to be loved by a man on this earth. And the enemy will try so many different lies.
Yes.
And the truth is, we are God's daughters.
Yes.
He has a plan.
Yes.
And we have to trust in that.
Yes.
Okay, the next one is grit, which is firmness of character, courage. I don't know why when I think of grit, I think of like a cowboy, like ready. Do you? You know, with the guns ready for the showdown. Like, I don't. That when I think of grit, I'm like, you know, I'm ready. Firmness of character, courage.
Courage.
Are you ready to live for the Lord with more conviction? Have you counted the cost? We cannot be double-minded. We need to give all of ourselves to Christ. That means all our dreams, all our desires, or what we think our life should be like. I work in a group of people, and a lot of us have been there at least 15 or more. I think there's only one or two that have been there less than me. We've been working together a long time. And most of them are happily married. And it takes courage to know that I'm no less than they are. I used to think, how can I be a witness for God when it seems like my life is so much less than theirs? And I go through so many trials. Why would anyone want the Christian life I live? But over the years and years and years, and I just want to repeat that it's years. You know, sometimes not everything happens overnight. We were going to pray and we want the answer tomorrow. But in God's timing is always right. And sometimes it's years.
Yeah.
And over the years, I've been able to testify to the goodness of the Lord through my trials. I'm often asked, I don't know how you do it. And I get to say, God, the grace of God in me. That's how. And that's only how I get to do everything that I do. A coworker has a family member going through an ugly divorce. And he told me, he goes, I know you got through because of your faith. I wish he had that too. Mm. And I was like, what a witness that he knows that. And it's awesome for me because I get to pray for her. I was thinking, I can pray for her because I've been where she is at. Mm-hmm. And I can pray specifically for her. And I do. I used to tell the Lord all the things I needed to be happy. I needed a house so that my kids wouldn't compare themselves to others and feel poor. I needed a better job so I can support my kids on my own without family finance help. I don't know why, but God has other people and family members who support me. I'd rather support myself, but it must not be God's will, and I need to accept that.
Yes.
Life would be so much better if I had a husband to help raise these kids with me. And there'll be less financial struggles because there'll be two adults sharing all the expenses. I had a whole list of reasons why God needs to give me a husband. And then I told the Lord, you told me you would give me the desires of my heart. So, do you guys ever do the same? Do you ever, yeah? You know, do you have reasons that you feel, you know, Lord, you know, this has to be your will. I mean, you created man and woman, right? I mean, why am I single? Yeah. Yes?
It's hard, like, going to a restaurant alone or to the movie theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if you want to go to see the movie and you want to go to a restaurant.
Well, hopefully you can find a friend or, and if you do go alone, say, you know what, God, you're with me. You know, it's hard as a parent, as a single parent. Is anyone else here a single parent? It's hard going to sport events, and I'm always by myself. I would say 99% of the time, my ex doesn't come. And there's so many. In my neighborhood, there's not a lot of divorced couples, which is awesome, you know. And I'm like one of maybe like three, you know. One is a widow. But other than that, I just, you know, it's always me and the kids. And sometimes it's embarrassing feeling by myself when they have support too, you know. But hey.
There's that. I often feel like, and particularly I live in a town where divorce is not common.
That's how I live. It's really not.
There's a subtle judgment. It's, you know, and sometimes not so subtle. And I think one of you just said, you know, accept if God's will.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I also have to accept that, you know, disobedience has consequences.
Like, amen.
It's not a punishment, but it's a consequence. But finding who I am with the Lord without anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whether we're single or married,
it's
so vitally important. And
it
if
is.
We don't have that, then maybe we don't even have any business, you know, praying for a husband. Like, and I'm not, you know, like, it's taken me a long time to come to that, but that, you know, to be totally satisfied in my walk and my relationship.
Amen.
With Christ, and then say, okay, you know, if it's your will to bring somebody in, now there's room for him for that. Yeah, so
yeah.
How do you do that?
It's not. And I think I put judgment on myself. I don't think in my neighborhood I have felt judgment as being single, especially from the families that I interact with. They never have made me feel that way. I have a friend who says she has felt that way. I think it was more putting that on myself, like, you know, they're not as good as them. Look how happy they look. Oh, that mother and father just come to every game, and I'm always by myself. But I'm not by myself. My Lord is with me, and I can be. I'm worth just as much as they are. I'm no less than they are. God loves us all the same. So grit. God has not let these things happen in my life. Those things I've asked for, he has not given me those things. And I've stopped reciting them. I just, because I think you keep the focus on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you keep reciting those things. God knows what is best for me. His peace is priceless.
Yes.
To be able to go through a day knowing he is with you, whatever happens today, he's got my side. I remember the first night my husband left. I said, well, God, you knew this was going to happen this morning. I just had an underlying peace about that. You know, I went through a lot of emotions, but the underlying, the truth was, you knew this was going to happen to me, and I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
Without him, we have no real life. We must believe that his ways are good and his plan is perfect and live with an excitement of what the years ahead will bring. Gratitude. Thankful appreciation for favors and benefits received. Thank God he is in control. Thank God for the fruit of the Spirit. I even thank God for long suffering.
Yes.
I've come to realize that life is going to have trials. Then at least I know I can get through those trials because I have the Spirit and I have long suffering. There are people in the world who do not have the Lord, and when these same things hit them, they don't have that long suffering to be able to get through. You know, but with the power of the Spirit, we can get through. So it's a blessing to be able to suffer long. I'm so thankful for how the Lord has changed my personality, and he continues to do so all the time. I remember driving one time and said, Lord, I didn't know so much was wrong with me. You're correcting me like every 10 minutes. But it's a blessing that he changes my mindset, because if not, I would believe a lie, or I would keep believing what is not true, and I would just keep living incorrectly. But he changes us little by little by little. I'm so blessed that he is willing to stick with me and be patient with me and to take me back and dust me back off when I fall. I'm thankful that I no longer need to walk in shame of the past failures, but take comfort in his power to change me and mature me. Because of him, we can stay stable through life's storms and walk as Peter did when Peter walked on the water, when he was focused on Jesus. I remember one of them, even as a Christian, I was walking in sin, and the Lord had to pick me back up, and I felt like I was born again. It was the most, it was awesome, and I just felt so redeemed that, you know, you still kept me as your child. You never left me, you know, you didn't turn your back from me. And he was like the prodigal, when I was like the prodigal son who came back, he welcomed me back. And that is just awesome knowing. And then when that happened, I said, well, I'm back in the kingdom, but, you know, I definitely won't go back to the ways I used to serve him. I'm not worthy to do that. And then little after little, he said, no, I redeemed you, and you are made new. Your sins are forgotten, and I still can use you. I still have a plan for you. And I was shocked, and I said, okay. And I started teaching Sunday school again, and it was just so awesome to be able to go back to that and then still feel like I could be used even though I fell in such terrible sin. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's so important to realize that he is a redeemer, and he keeps redeeming. You know, he has purposes and plans. Like, he knew I would fall, but he still has a plan and can use me for good. You know, and I think that as you mature, you focus not so much on your little world, but his vision and how can I serve him? You know, not what do I want. Recently, work has been more stressful and busy than ever for me. I was talking to my boss in Fenton. I don't know if we're going to meet the client's expectations and these deadlines. I don't know if we can deliver what they need. I work for a software company. And I was really threatened and getting fearful and, like, panicking. And my boss said, well, you should pray about that. And I was like, they all know I'm a Christian. But, like, and she was downstairs. You should pray. I said, duh. Oh, yeah, God. You care about my work, too. Don't you love when non-believers point out the obvious spiritual thing? You know? What are you grateful for? Are there anything specific that you are grateful for that the Lord has done in your life? Anyone? Anything comes to mind that you're grateful for? I'm just grateful that he sticks with me and continues to change me. I'm very grateful for that.
I'm finally grateful that I'm single.
Yeah.
When I got divorced after 21 years of marriage, I didn't think I was going to survive. And I have returned to my first love.
Amen.
And I never thought I would be able to, like, even come into the meeting about the singles. I didn't want to be a single. But I am very grateful where I am right now.
Amen.
Thankful to God.
Amen. Anyone else? Anything you're grateful for?
I mean, I'm grateful to be here, but I'm so grateful for constantly seeing Christ in my life, that he knows what I need, and he gives it to me, and he is so real. And it's a growing and maturing.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Amen.
Yeah.
I just love the little things. The other morning, I had made my salad the night before because I came to the conclusion I don't have time in the morning and I buy all this stuff and it goes bad. So I'm going to try making it at night. So next morning, I had an extra could you take 20 minutes? I need everything in a salad, at least 20 things. So I had a couple more minutes than normal and I was like, you know, maybe I'll curl my hair a little bit. And then my son's like, Mom, can you make my sandwich? And my daughter asked for something and I was like, I made my salad at, in my head I'm going, I made that salad at night so I won't be rushing this morning. And I thought the Lord said, no, you made that salad at night so you can help your kids this morning. I said, okay. You know, but just that the Lord changed that, you know, and I didn't become like, you know. One time my daughter was really little. She would like to help me in the kitchen. And then I just wanted to cook alone. I just wanted to do my thing. And she was like, I want to help. I'd be like, Lord, I love her. Why do I not want her here? And God showed me, your mom chased you out of the kitchen when you were little. Oh. And I would have repeated that same feelings to her if the Lord had not intervened. Oh. Isn't it awesome that he can do that?
Yeah.
You know? And I appreciate those things so deeply. You know, I'm coming to realize the true riches are the ones from heaven. Peace, hope, love, faith, his power, his control. I'm thankful his word that teaches us how to live. I used to get so nervous when reading Paul's writings about being single and how it's better to be single. I would think, oh no, Lord, please don't let that be for me. But the Lord's ways are not supposed to be burdens on us. You know, he did not... Those words that Paul spoke about being single, I mean, a lot of that was because the church was being persecuted, and he was saying it's better not to be single and have to worry about, you know, a wife or a family when the church is persecuted. And I was thinking, like, no, I don't want those scriptures. You know, the Lord's ways are not supposed to be a burden on you. He came that we would be free from the law. He didn't save us so we could read the scripture and going, I don't know if I can do that. You know, no, he's free. He set us free. I don't know what God's plans are for me. I don't know if I will always be single or not, but I do know that God has it all mapped out. He knows me better than I know myself and what is best for me. He is a good father and wants good things for me. The same is true for you, so let's all be grateful. Glory, great honor or fame, admiration, great splendor, prosperity, heavenly bliss, to exalt. God will get the glory if you submit your life to him. Live every day in his will. Do whatever he asks you to do with gladness. Stop and take notice of the things he has placed on your heart to do. Don't think of any task too small. Serving the Lord with gladness is wonderful and fulfilling when you realize he is the one calling us to the task. And just, I'm talking, God gives me little tasks. I mean, one time he told me, I saw Butterfingers, the crumbled ones where the chocolate chips are in the aisle, and just filled my heart to go make cookies for the thrift shop so they can sell them and to bless the workers. And he said, cookies make people smile. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. You know, I coach softball, my daughter's team, and I get to pray for those kids that I'm coaching. And there's one girl, and she's friends with my daughter, but I didn't know her really well. She doesn't speak. She does not speak to hardly anyone. And she started speaking to me. I also had her over to make, I think, cookies for Valentine's Day. And she asked me a question across the table, and I was like, she talked. And I didn't want to point it out, and my daughter goes, you talk to my mom. I'm like, shh, she might not do it again. And I got to coach her in softball, and her mom said it almost brought her to tears because her daughter will initiate conversations with me, not just me asking her something and answering. But that's God. Yeah. And I know it's God. And I love being able to see that and be used that way. The last Sunday of the month, we have cake at our church to celebrate birthdays. And I'm one of the bakers, and I get to make a cake each month. And I just love the atmosphere of people eating cake and their coffee and chit-chatting and laughing and fellowshipping. And I'm going, yep, I was part of making that happen, you know. And I just want to point these out. These are small tasks that you might just think, yeah, I'll just be, whatever. No, these are tasks God has put on my heart, and he's using for his glory. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I teach Sunday school. I get to pray for children and teach the word. I am not a happy-go-lucky type of girl, normally. I just wasn't born that way. Some people are born nice, and I envy you. Some people are just sweet, and God's working on me. And I was in the store the other day, and I asked the guy, he was stocking the shelf. I said, how are you? He goes, much better now that you're here with your smile. And I was like, he is right. I was like, I am grinning from ear to ear. I said, God, you are changing me. Normally, I'm in the store getting my stuff out. You know, and I just think it's awesome. There's a woman at our church this past weekend, and she made these headbands for the young girls. I mean, this woman has physical problems. She's in pain most of the time. I didn't even know she spoke to the little girls, but Hannah, my daughter's name Hannah, and she had this beautiful headband. And I talked to the woman. I said, that is so nice that you took your time to do that and your money. And my daughter wanted, she had asked the girls previously, what colors would you like? And they didn't have the color teal my daughter wanted. So she just went ahead and dyed white, teal, so she can make the color for my daughter. And I mean, I can't tell you how blessed it feels when someone takes their time and their resources, and that I know God put that on her heart. And that, to me, I think that is awesome. She is serving the Lord, you know. And I just don't want you to think that these full tasks are just nothing. No, this is serving the Lord. This is what serving the Lord looks like in our lives. What ways do you feel that the Lord uses you for his glory? Is there anything that you guys are, that you feel like you're special at, or that God puts on your heart to do? I know someone's selling those bracelets. I mean, that's awesome. That's helping a lot of people. You know, I can't imagine living in a country where you feel like you might be sold. I'm sure it does happen in America, but I never think of it that might happen to my daughter. Like, I don't have to live with that fear, you know, and to be able to reach out to them financially and help them with these bracelets is really awesome. You know, and I hope the Lord has given you all little things that, and maybe you already don't, and you don't even realize it's serving the Lord. You know, and maybe God will start to put different things on your heart after this conference, and you can say, yeah, I can serve you that way, God. Sure, I can bake cookies, or whatever he puts on your heart. Psalm 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This verse is on my coffee mug that I use when I drive to church every Sunday. I have about a half an hour ride, so I like my coffee cup. And one morning, I was complaining because I had to teach Sunday school. Oh, no. I signed up to cook breakfast. We have a breakfast program, and I cook once a month. And, well, the other guy who does Sunday school canceled and said, you have to teach. I said, but I'm cooking. And when you cook, you miss most of worship, and when you teach, you miss the sermon. And normally the sermons are recorded, but of course the laptop was down. I said, Lord, I'm not going to get anything out of this service today. I'm going to miss most of worship. I'm going to have to teach the kids and miss the sermon. And then my mug was sitting right there. Serve me with gladness. And I was thinking, this doesn't happen often, Denise. I think you'd be okay. You know, serve him with gladness. I'm going to go to church going, I can't believe I got to cook and I got to teach. Like, seriously? You know, I'm sure, did your parents ever like it when you gave them a hard time about doing something? No, they want you to do things with gladness. Amen. And I just love how it was right there on my coffee cup. And that's one of the, I think, the greatest ways you can give God glory is to serving him with gladness, you know. You know, the Bible says he loves a cheerful giver. You know, he doesn't want you to go, oh, I got a tithe, you know, this hurts my wallet. No, I get the tithe, or I get to give, and whatever, you know, amount you guys give, you get to, you know. I want to talk about why people are single. Circumstances. What circumstances do you think
calls people to be single. Are you guys shy?
I guess I'm not shy. I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day, and so, you know, the first piece is disobedience, right? For me.
Okay.
Because if I had waited, and if I had gone before the Lord, and if I had followed what he was telling me to do, it's very likely I wouldn't be single today, right? But the other piece of it is, if we identify his calling on our lives, and we follow his calling, we will either be single or not, but it is on some level inconsequential. And I think that that's a piece that for me is really important. I know exactly what I took a long time. Right now I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing it. And every day that I do it, it's amazing.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter who's there or who's not there.
Right.
Just,
amen.
And that's my aunt thinks I'm not going to be single for long. Right? Whatever.
Whatever.
I don't even pray for that anymore.
Amen.
I don't even think that way.
Right.
Because if that's God's will for my life, perfect, wonderful.
Amen.
If that's his will, then it's going to be awesome.
And I bet you that didn't come overnight, that revelation.
No.
I used to, like I said, I recite things in my head, and I say, no, I'm not going down that road again today and feeling that way. No. You know, God loves me. He's got a purpose for me. You know, that's what I'm reciting in my head now.
Yeah. So the singleness isn't, I think that particularly in church, and I'm sorry to say that, but I think in church, being single, maybe not as a young person, it's okay, but when you're my age with kids, being single is not, there's not a lot of room for that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but being okay with that, that's God's grace, and that's also, it's a witness. And you said it earlier, right? Like going, people saying, I don't know how you do that. Mm-hmm. I do that through the grace and glory of God, and so I'm doing it with a smile on my face, and
Amen. Well, some people have never been married because they were never asked to be married. Some people are divorced. Some people are widowed. Some people are too young or too sick. I mean, there's many reasons why people are single. Some may be single by choice. Some prefer to be single. Some are not drawn to the opposite sex. They have no desire to be married. Some have chosen to remain single as a gift to God, you know. A couple of months ago, there was a Catholic event that was taking place right near my house, and Matt Mayer was going to be there. He's a singer. Do you know, I don't know if you know him from Christian music. And I got free tickets. They were like, I forget how much they were. They were like maybe 30-something each, and someone got tickets for me and the kids. And I was so excited that having such a huge singer being like 5 minutes from your house, and, you know, it was just really awesome. So I was going that day, and the website had who was going to be speaking, the music, and I wanted to see where Matt Mayer was, make sure I was there, because it was a whole day event, and I just want to make sure I didn't want to miss him. And in there it was I thought it was Sir Miriam James. It was S-R period. And so I thought I was looking him up on YouTube, and it was Sister Miriam James. And so it was a nun. And I thought it was just so funny. I'm like, man, Lord, I don't even know the abbreviation for sister. I was like, how silly am I? And when I watched her, she spoke about the call on her life to become a nun. She was a young nun. She was probably in her 20s. And it really touched my heart. I thought she was, because she was just saying, I felt the Lord called me to this life. And I was thinking, we are all called to serve him and this life to devotion to him. And I was like, I just really touched me that we were all called to live for God with all our hearts, no matter what form that takes. Mm-hmm. We need to be open to the Lord's will 100%, no matter if the path doesn't line up with our desires at the moment. The sister spoke that she wears the habit, and people ask her, like, why do you wear that? Like, you know, why do you nuns have to dress up like that? And she says, you know, when I go out in public, I want people to know. When they encounter me, when they have a conversation with me, if they need to talk to someone, they're going to encounter Christ through me. And this habit speaks that. That's what she felt like. And I said, what do we clothe with? We're clothed with Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. And I was like, Lord, I'm clothed with you. When people encounter me, I want them to encounter you.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away by her testimony, and that I was able to, the Lord was able to speak through her to me. And I didn't even know what I was looking up when I was YouTubing her. So that's my prayer. When people come across my path, they will experience Jesus too. I'm not promoting to be a nun. I'm not promoting that God's call is that you're going to be single for the rest of your life and you need to give up your life, and you know, you're a widow and you're single and there's nothing more for you. No. There's a lot for you, right?
There is.
Amen. Amen. I'm sure He has you doing special things in your church, in your family, in your neighborhood.
I'm never alone.
Amen.
Never alone.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes circumstances make being single the best choice. Like Paul in times of persecution, or if there's war, if there are tragedies. I mean, our country is not experiencing that, but you know, there are reasons that it might be a better choice to be single. There are many reasons why people are single. We should never judge someone or ourselves for being single. God's plan is not faltered. If we love the Lord and seek Him, then He will show us the perfect plan for our lives. And no one's thoughts or judgments on how they think our lives should look like can compare with His will for us. There are so many times you feel like people are looking at you like, what's wrong with you? How come you haven't found someone?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no. My God's got a perfect will for me, and I don't have to worry about it. And if we are not walking in His ways, today is a good day to make that decision to do so. God is a Redeemer and will rejoice if you choose to submit your ways to His. No matter what the past or the current present is, if you decide that you're going to give it all, your will and your desires, then He will be glad to work with you and show you His love. I want to speak of the rich young man in the Bible in Mark 10. It's verses 17 to 21. He was setting out on a journey. A man ran up to him and knelt before him. This is Jesus. And asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not be defrauded. Honor your mother and father. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth. Looking up to him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. What was Jesus pointing out in this man? Did Jesus really want him to give everything up? Maybe Jesus did. But maybe Jesus just wanted to show this young man his heart and his priorities. What are treasures in heaven? When you think of treasures, what do you think of? Do you think of things? Do you think of love, family? Like, what do you think of when you think of the treasures in heaven?
Souls.
Souls. Amen. Do we value worldly things? You know, what are the things that you think of? When you think of the word blessings, you know, people used to say all the time, you're going to get your blessing, God's going to bless you. And what do you all now think of? House, car, you know, white picket fence, you know? No. This is not what the Lord thinks when He says, I have blessed you. Like I said earlier, His peace is priceless. You know, knowing that I'm His, and that He has a perfect plan for me, and I don't have to get it all right all the time, and He still loves me no matter what, that's priceless. That is a treasure. You know, winning souls for other people, or to be able to make someone smile, that's a treasure, because I'm doing it for Him. Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2. Do not fret for those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither.
like green plants, they will soon die. There are many times that we may think that unbelievers we know have better lives than we do. If you go to school or, you know, I'm in the community, I could think, they got it so much better. And we have to watch out when jealousy tries to creep in. When I recognize these thoughts, I tell myself, I will not be jealous of any man, especially if they don't know the Lord. I will not be jealous of a sinner's life, no matter how good it looks compared to mine. It may look like they are happy and have more things, but I will not measure my wealth by this world's definition. I belong to the Lord, and nothing can compare. And when I get those thoughts and I see other families and I start to get it, I said, no, I have Jesus, and I have him for eternity. Nothing can compare. I will not be jealous. I have a friend, and she brings up her ex-husband, how he's remarried on his second child, and look how well he's done. I said, don't be jealous. Do not be jealous of him. He doesn't even know the Lord. How can you be jealous of his life? Yeah. What are our motives for our good works? Are our motives to impress others or to gain compliments from the pastor or the pastor's wife? Are we hoping to serve the Lord in hopes that he will promote us in our work or our churches, or in hopes that God will give us the things we want? We have to make sure that we're not serving the Lord hoping that he is going to give us those things, that list we gave him earlier. We want to serve the Lord because we love him. In Psalm 37 and verse 4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When our delight is in the Lord, our desires change. We're in the world, we have worldly desires. When we're in the Lord, we're going to have his desires and want his treasures. It is a process. None of us have arrived. And some of the desires may still not be in God's will, but if we keep seeking him and loving him, then he will show us his plans and his timing. Our only motive should be love for God and love for others. When we are in the presence of the Lord, does anything on earth matter except belonging to him for eternity and longing for his heart? When you're worshiping God and you feel his presence, are you thinking of the car you want or the mate you want? No, you're just overwhelmed with love, right? His heart is to make us feel complete in him, to share the good news of Jesus, to become more like Christ, to believe more deeply. And I love that it's a process. I love that it will never end, and that he will always be with me, changing me, encouraging me, having new things for me, and whatever those things may be, his plans are good. He is a good father. Are you willing to give up your treasures and your will, your desires, and follow Jesus, even when you don't know where this road may lead? This young man, the rich young man, couldn't do it. He walked away. You know, will you walk away or will you follow Jesus? You will not know the exact route. You won't know his timing. You will give him your life. Will you give him your life, your heart, your emotions, your plans, and lay it on the altar and become that living sacrifice he asks us to be? Joseph is a wonderful example in the Bible. His dreams were from God. Joseph had dreams, and they were from God. And it took 22 years for those dreams to come to pass. And they were God-given dreams. Not even his own that he made up. And Joseph's statement to his brothers at the end, when those dreams finally came to pass, he said, what you intended for harm, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And, you know, my biggest hope is to come to the end of my life or whatever and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Whatever happened in my life was meant for the good. No matter what it feels like when you're going through, to always have that vision out there going, whatever I'm going through, God is going to work this out for the good in me. In Psalm 37, verses 5 and 6, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Trust in the Lord. I wanted to go over some of the women in the Bible. Does everyone know the story of Ruth? Yes? Don't read the whole thing, but
Naomi was a widow, and she had two daughter-in-laws, and one was Ruth. And Naomi, both her sons died, her husband died, her two sons died, so now she has two daughter-in-laws. And she's saying, go, stay here in this land, I'm going back home. And Ruth said, no, I'm going with you. And Ruth was persistent to go home. And Naomi said, I'm not going to have any more sons for you to marry. Like, why come with me? But when she saw that Ruth was persistent, she let Ruth go back with her. And in verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do with me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. And obviously, God put that on Ruth's heart, that conviction on her heart to stay with Naomi. Ruth was sacrificing it all for the conviction she felt in her heart to stay with Naomi. Ruth had no idea what lay before her as she followed her heart. We have no idea what God's road has for us. All we know that it's good plans. God's plan for Ruth was far greater than she would ever have planned for herself. Ruth did remarry and had a son named Obed. He was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. And we know that these are the ancestors of Christ. What important future events will not take place if we do not trust God and let Him lead our lives? Eve is another one from the Bible. Adam and Eve were in the garden with all sorts of trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. Yet the devil was able to get Eve to focus on that one tree that she could not eat from. She took her eyes off of all that she had and lost it all. Do you concentrate on your singleness? If so, it could make you take your eyes off of all that you do have. What lie is the devil telling you that is turning your eyes off of God and what He has provided? Does anyone think they concentrate on their singleness too much? You know, yes?
At work, they seem to focus on it a lot because if I put in a leaf slip during a holiday, then they'll say, my boss has said to me, Oh, we were thinking that you would cover for us because we have families.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I do have like an elderly mother and a handicapped sister, but it doesn't count. So they're the ones who remind me. And when I had a carpool that was going to leave a bit earlier, I was asking if I could come in earlier, leave earlier. They said, oh no, we made that adaptation for Charlie because he has childcare needs, but even though he has a nanny and a wife, but for me, because they're single, then they're not supposed
they're
to
take for, you're taken for granted, too.
So, and then the telework thing, when I asked about if I could telework, they said, other people, they have kids to be concerned with, even if I might enjoy teleworking every once in a while.
Right. Did you talk to them?
It doesn't count. I don't know. I have some difficulty with it. But on the other hand, I guess God can use us, like, because we're single, then we can be a blessing to people and cover for them. It's true.
True.
But
that's
oftentimes
true.
You feel trampled upon.
Right. Absolutely. I would feel trampled upon too. And you know, pray. And maybe you need to speak up sometimes and say, you know, I would like to work from home or whatever.
But they think
vehicle.
You don't count. Like,
you know. I mean, maybe you could maybe pray about it. Maybe God would have you speak to them and say, you know, when you tell me these things, you make me feel like my time is not as important as everyone else or my needs are not important. As a single, I do have needs too. You know, pray about it. Maybe God would have you have a conversation with them about that. You know, and then other times God might say, no, you be the one that go in and cover. You know, you serve this way. You know, you really need to be led of the Lord. But I can definitely see how that would be hard. That definitely would be. And that would make you concentrate on your singleness more than you need to, you know, and make you feel less when you're not. You are not. And I just love that story of Eve and to learn from that, you know, there was one tree she couldn't have.
that one thing, you know. I don't want to have that one thing that I concentrate on and focus on and forget of everything else around me that I do have. I want to speak of Anna. Anna is in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. And she was a prophet, a prophetess. Anna, a prophet, who also, there in the temple, Simeon was also in the temple, and this is right after that story. She was the daughter of Phanuel, who was a tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and praying. She came along just as Simon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When I used to read about Anna, and she was only married 7 years and then a widow the rest of her life, I used to take pity on her. Lord, what a shame. What a boring life. All she did was live in that temple. Whew. You know, all she did was serve you the rest of her life. I mean, what fun is that? You know, but she was a prophetess. She served the Lord night and day. She was close to the Lord. She worshiped, fasted, and prayed. Anna gave up herself wholly to her devotions. Are we not called and commanded to do the same for Christ? Anna did what was good, above what was required by the law. She did these things with good intentions. I bet she didn't pity her life. When I read of Anna now, I think, what a blessing to see this woman who served the Lord for so many years. She did not grow weary. She took pleasure in serving the Lord. It doesn't say that since she couldn't make any other kind of life for herself, and serving God was second choice. I'm sure she didn't mope around saying, I guess all I'm good for is to work in this temple. You know, and I guess we could fall under that same trap, thinking, all I'm good for is serving here at the church and signing up for things, and, you know, there's no other life. I guess this is what I'll have. No, this is God's first choice for us, if that's what he's calling you to do. And that's what he called Anna to do. I used to tell the Lord, too, well, Lord, we're not going to be married in heaven, so, you know, I really would like to experience this gift here now. But whatever the Lord has is what he has. And I've learned when I go through my own will, it doesn't work out, doesn't feel good, I lose my peace, and then I don't want to go down the road anymore. You get tired of being tired, and you learn from your mistakes, thank God. And God will give her the desire of her heart, because Anna's desire was she saw our Lord Jesus in the flesh. She saw the fulfillment of Scripture she knew so well. She saw the Messiah that her people had been waiting for hundreds of years. What good works do you feel the Lord leading you to? Do you feel like there's anything God has put on your heart to do for him? I know that God has put on my heart to take a day off, and I'm going to help prepare for our Thanksgiving dinner that our church does this Saturday before Thanksgiving. And I'm excited. I'm excited to go help prepare and to cook, to serve the community, you know, and open up our church doors, have the community come in and be part of that. I'm excited. I'm taking a day off to do so. You know, at Christmas time, we do an outreach through our thrift shop, you know. People come in, they shop, I set a table up for kids, I face paint, and those kids smile, and it is a blessing to prepare for that and to do that. And I hope I get to do it again this year. You know, are there things that you feel God has called you to do that you might think, you know, that really makes other people happy, and that's really me serving, and I never realized the importance of it, you know, because those things are important. I pray for people. I pray for those who hurt me. I pray because the people who hurt you, they need prayer. You know, I have an ex-husband who, there's always times where I get hurt. You know, whether how he treats the kids or the lack of his presence with the kids, and you get hurt. But you know what? I pray for him. I even told him recently, I said, I know you're probably not going to appreciate it, you know, because he was going through something financial that he called on himself, but I said, I don't know what to tell you. I can't help you financially, but I want to let you know I'm praying for you. Whether you appreciate it or not, I am praying for you. And I was thinking, there might not be another soul on this earth praying for him. you know. And I'm going to pray for him because I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe that my God will intervene on his behalf, and that when I pray God's will, that God will intervene. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, prayer is no little thing. Like, I'll pray for you. No. I'm moving heaven and earth. My God's going to intervene. My God is going to look over this situation. And God will move on his heart. And whether he accepts it or not is up to him. I mean, he has his own will. But at least God is going to intervene and be there through my prayers. Another thing we can do with people who hurt us is, you know, God says to love your enemies. I said to him, you know, God, how can I love my enemies? Like, what do you want to do? Go give them a hug every time I see them? And God was like, no. I'm not expecting you to go give them a hug and to, you know, pour out your pocketbook to them every time you see them or whatever. But God said, you can be kind. Love is kind. Love is gentle. You don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to speak negative. And I was like, okay. That's what love is going to look like in that situation. Yes?
How would that apply to ISIS?
To ISIS and what's going on, to loving those enemies, you can definitely pray for God to move, and that the destruction that they are trying to do, to pray against that and pray that the enemy won't have his way. You can pray. Definitely. Challenges of being single. Yes?
Just real quick, my friend's sister was murdered a number of years ago, and he's a very strong believer, and he really tries to live a Christ-like existence, and he wants to bring his pastor to prison to pray with the man who murdered his
sister
and his family. And I said, I can't grasp it, and I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I wouldn't wish hell on my worst enemy.
Amen.
And even though he can't love him in the secular sense.
Right.
He prayed for him.
Right. And that's
love. Saved for him.
Amen.
And I'm like, you know.
And that's loving your enemy in God's way.
Yeah.
Amen. I went to court recently with my ex, and he had to go to court. I just went. And I was sitting with him, and he was all nervous. And I was like, I felt myself going, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. It's going to work out. I said, Lord, I feel like I'm here for him. And I was like, you know what? That's why I'm there. Jesus was working through me and speaking to calm him down. And in my flesh, that's not what I would want to do, you know? But that's God. Yes.
Yeah, also something that set me free a long time ago was God called us to love people, not to like them. And it's okay to not get along with someone or for your personalities not to mesh or whatever, but that love is there, you know, if you allow yourself to walk in the love that God has the grace to allow us to walk
in. Amen.
It's
only through
God. You don't have to be buddy-buddy.
Right.
I don't have to go to lunch with you, and I don't have to go get mimosas or whatever. You know,
right.
We don't have to do all this.
Because that's what I kept thinking. I kept thinking of the worldly love, like hugs and how are you doing? And I was like, I can't do that. He's, you know, hurt me. And God's like, no, just be kind and gentle. And I can do those things through his power, like you said, you know? And that did set me free, too. Challenges of being single. If you live alone, you get all the expenses and repairs and chores. And I hope you get lots of help with your needs.
Do.
You do?
Yes. I have three older kids.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. One of the challenges, dating. Finding someone to date. Finding someone with the same faith and like-mindedness. Just have to trust God. You know, there seems like there's more women in the church than men.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If it was God's timing, and if I was supposed to be married or meet someone, it would happen. Right? Finding time to date a single parent, I don't even know if that's possible, but dating after divorce. You know, they say people who get divorced, you obviously get divorced for reasons, and you bring baggage from that. And if it's 50% of people who get divorced, second marriage goes up to 75% of those people will get divorced because they're bringing the same baggage.
Mm-hmm.
They have baggage, now they're bringing that together for a second time, and the odds are even worse. So we really need to be in God's will if we are going to think about dating. Single parenting is a challenge of being single. Purity is a challenge when you're single, keeping your thoughts pure. I went to Catholic school for many years. In high school, I had a nun who said, you won't die if you don't have sex. Sex is not something your body has to have in order to live. I have always remembered that. And I even used that when I was quitting smoking. I would have these urges going, I have to have one. And I would tell myself, no, you don't. You will not die. My body will not fall over without a cigarette. And God has, and when that nun had taught me that, it's stuck in my head all these years. You will not die without sex. Giving into premarital sex would only lead us to feel guilty, which can cause you to feel separated from God. You know, what the Bible talks about, the pleasures now seem great, but later on it's like, oh, I wish I knew him better. I wish I didn't do that. You know, you ever on a diet and you pig out and you're like, why did I do that? You know, same with keeping yourself pure. It's important because you don't want to feel guilty later on. And then you have to go to God and you have to work through those feelings of feeling guilty. And you know he forgives you when you repent, but then we hang on to that and it's better to not go through it. Don't put yourself in places of temptation. Even if you find yourself thinking impure thoughts quickly, think of something else to think about. The more you give in, the more it will overcome you. If you start to have thoughts, cut it. You know, do something to think about something else, because the more you give in to those thoughts and the more you start daydreaming, the more that will happen. You know, it's not like a one-time thing. It's like, no, whatever you feed will thrive. Another challenge of being single is low self-esteem, rejection, and we need to find our worth in Christ. You know, you ever say, what's wrong with me? I want to be married and no one's interested in me. Maybe God's just waiting for me to clean myself up. Who knows? No, we need to find our worth in Christ. And it's so important, low self-esteem and rejection. And I think it's one of the reasons it's good to have friends and to be in a body to someone who can uplift you when need be, someone you can call and be like, you know, I'm just not feeling good today, you know. Loneliness, grief, boredom. I didn't know that you could be busy and feel lonely. I was at work one day and I was like, what is this feeling? Like, I'm busy at work, you know, I got two kids I'm raising by myself. At that point I still had the house and I'm like, what is this feeling? And God said, you're lonely. I was like, how am I going to be lonely? I'm busy. And God is so good, because I had a friend email me saying, you know, if you want to bring the kids over tonight, we can get pizza, because she had kids too. And someone else had, I don't know if they emailed me or texted me, and was like, if you ever want to get coffee, let me know. And so I took the offer with the kids, so I could bring my kids with me, and we had a good fellowship. But that God knew what that was, and had already provided a way out, you know. There's some bad ways to deal with loneliness. You become a workaholic, shopaholic, pity parties. I've been through enough pity parties where that record player just keeps skipping and skipping and skipping of those negative thoughts. Paul did not have pity parties. Paul was a man who was shipwrecked, beaten, chained. Paul went through it all. And what did he do? Singing praises and writing one-third of the New Testament while he's sitting in jail. You know? So we have a choice with our loneliness or grief or boredom. You know, what are you going to do with the time God has given you? And what are you going to do with your thoughts? You know, are you going to say, oh, what was me? Or, and that's fine. If you start to have those thoughts, they're going to come. It's what you do with them. Are you going to stop them? Say, no. I can live for the Lord, you know. Look at Paul. He wrote one-third of the New Testament, you know, and he went through so much persecution. Yeah. We don't hardly go through a tenth of what Paul had went through in his life. God's ways of dealing with loneliness, recognizing God's presence. God runs to the brokenhearted. I love it. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, when I'm lonely, I just feel like, man, God, where are you? Like, how am I feeling? I'm all alone. And I read this, I'm like, no, God is here. He runs to the brokenhearted. When you're going through a tough time, he's running towards you. He's not disappearing. He's like, no, you're my child. I am running to you. And we need to recognize his presence. And we need to put our hope in the Lord. Psalm 34:5. Why, O my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in the Lord. and I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. You know, it's once again, a lot of it's in the mind, you know. Why are you downcast? No, put your hope in the Lord, Denise. You know, do what you know to do. Do the things you know uplift you. I go to a Bible study every Wednesday night. It's a half an hour from home. It's after work. It's after cooking dinner. And it's very rarely do I feel like going. You know, I'd rather just sit in a chair, in a book, or something. And I very rarely do I feel like getting in the car, driving a half an hour after all that in the midweek. But I would say at least 90% of the time, I go. And when I leave, I never regret that I came. You have to do what you know is good. Exercising. You know, I exercise early in the morning. I leave my house around, I like to be there around 5 in the morning. And when I go through stressful times, I want to sleep in. You know, I feel down. I don't feel like getting out of bed. But it's better for me to go because exercising is healthy. It releases those endorphins that make you feel better. But you have to recognize that your body or your mind are not going to want to do those things that you know are good and that will have a profit later on. But you can say, no, I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to go to Bible study. I know every time I leave, I feel great. I know God speaks to me in those Bible studies. And I'm going to go because I know it doesn't matter what I feel like. Sometimes you have to overcome those feelings. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit on how to deal with loneliness. Does anyone want to share on how they deal with loneliness?
I do. I'm a single widow. I've been that way for 18 years. My kids, they're grown, got kids of their own. And, yeah, I'm a human being. Yes, I do have those days where I'm lonely.
Amen.
But when this comes over me, Satan will try, when he sees it, he tries to get in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to take that feeling away, I start praising God. Put on
Amen.
Music, or get outside and walk, or pick up a friend and call another Christian friend. And it's like you communicate with someone that may not even know what you're going through. But we all, as women, we all go through loneliness at a time. No matter if you got 20 kids, you're still going to go have that feeling.
And it's awesome if you have someone to call.
It is.
Or music helps me a lot.
Me too. And getting out walking. As you said, exercise. I exercise every morning. I'm out walking.
Amen. Yes. Did you want to say something?
You can be with a crowd of people and feel lonely.
Yeah, that's
right. You can.
Yes,
you absolutely can.
Dating someone and feel lonely.
Amen.
That's right.
I read a book on it. They said there's people who are married and feel lonely.
That's
you
right.
You know, there's people who commit suicide. Wealthy people commit suicide. So money doesn't fix loneliness.
No.
You know?
Yes.
For me, I found that a lot of times just acknowledging it and then actively giving that to the Lord. Like, I feel lonely and it sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, can you please help me? You know,
Amen.
I mean, I literally do that. And
those just, simple prayers, help.
It also helps, like, put it in the enemy's face. When I do that, I feel like I'm putting it out there. Like, this is not hidden in the closet. This is not me trying to sweep it under the rug. Like, I'm lonely, but I'm going to pretend like I'm not. You know, it's like, no, this is lonely, this sucks, and I don't like it.
Mm.
Okay. Now that that's out, help. Like, you need help. Like, and that.
I tell the Lord, too. Lord, I need some encouragement today.
Yes.
He loves me,
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're asking him for something that he doesn't want to give you. Of course he wants to encourage it. Yeah, I need some encouragement. Yes.
I do. I try to, if I get like that, just do some service or find somebody who's less, you know, who's, I've been known to call a friend and be like, tell me your problems.
Yeah.
Like, because if I'm focused on somebody else, it takes it.
They say serving is awesome because it takes the eyes off of you, you know. You are in the family of God. We need to develop relationships. And coming here is awesome. Fellowshipping with one another, we need this. You know, we need to realize we all have the same Father. And we all are sisters in the Lord. And we need to cherish these relationships. And we need to build them. And if that's not your personality, you need to make it your personality to reach out to someone. You know, if you don't have a friend that you can call, you know, you need to speak to someone. You know, I think that's why we do things in our church. We have cake and stuff, so you can have time to sit down and talk to someone. You know, because there's women out there who need a friend too. You know, and you might be what they need.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I think we are running beyond our time, but I'm at the conclusion. Only God knows the perfect will for your life. It is up to you to surrender your life and desires wholly to Him. You may not know any more specific details about your life after this conference, but I pray and hope your confidence is in the One who created you, who loves you, and holds your perfect future in His will. He knows the beginning to the end. Choose to believe He has some wonderful surprises for you. I used to come to these conferences again, pray lines, like hoping, like, please tell me what my life's going to be like. You know, and you can't put that burden on someone else. And you might not know anything more specific about your life when you leave here than you did when you showed up. You might not have any more details. You might say what you can, but you can leave here changed. You can change saying, you know what, I trust Him more. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to make my desires your desires more. Yes, Lord, work that through me. Help me do that. Lord, help me get off that record player of bad thoughts. When I have those thoughts, yeah, I do that. I'm going to stop it. So I hope that you just change a little bit in this conference. At this point in my life, I have never felt so free since I've given my life to Christ and lived for Him. I'm more peaceful and blessed knowing He's in control. There are still storms and always will be of some sort. But that's okay. I know who is with me, and that's Jesus. There is a battle. The enemy wants to distract you and push you off course, but fight back. If you have to speak 100 times a day that God loves me and has a perfect plan for my life, my job is to believe and to do what He has set before me today. Then say it 100 times if you have to. If you feel bitterness try to creep in, stop and say, I love the Lord because He first loved me. I pray for those who hurt me. Lord, bless their lives with the knowledge of You. Each new day is a gift at hand. Don't think or speak such things as, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy if. All you have is today. Today is your gift from God. Singleness is not a curse. We belong to the Lord, and we are the light of the world. Amen?
Amen.
So you have any questions or last comments? Anyone? Okay.
I just think that lie of loneliness is really affecting women, and that we think we need to be complete in a man, and we are complete in Christ.
Amen.
And it affects you whether you're married or single.
Amen.
If you're married and you're putting that man first, or you think he's going to complete you, you know, I wish when I was young I would have allowed myself to be mentored by women who have walked before me.
Definitely.
But it's a great lie.
And we had to stop comparing ourselves to other people too. Just because I know when I was about 24, it seemed like everybody was getting married. Well, I wanted to get married too.
Mm.
You know, I didn't really seek God 100% of what He wanted. You know, but we have to just. But God is a redeemer and has even redeemed that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But we do need to trust the Lord and realize we're not cursed because we're single.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. You know, we are blessed. We are very, very blessed to know God. And I've decided I don't care if I'm single the rest of my life or not. I really don't care. Whatever God has for me is what He has.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to serve Him with gladness. And that greatest title I said, that greatest title, I'm a servant of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God of the universe who created, I'm His servant. I'm part of the soldiers of that kingdom. Watch out, I got grit.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Well, thank you, ladies.
Thanks
for coming.
Wonderful.